Blog Talk Radio.
We are all connected with each other and with all of life. How would knowing this help you to become the dream team as a couple? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love, relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the powerful Healing Through Love lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep on proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Evren Suri Westhead is a clinical psychotherapist with an MBA, an ex-opera singer, cinematographer, and an herbalist. She explains that it is scary, amazing, and exciting to discover how we are connected with each other and with all of life. As she teaches the three C's of connection, she shares news, research, and experiences about our existence beyond our limited selves. And she will share today with us about what it will take to become a dream team couple. The name of her summit, a virtual summit, where she interviewed several experts on the topic. So I'm really thrilled to be speaking with you today, Evren Westhead. Welcome.
Thank you, Erica. Dr. Erica, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm so happy we've connected. It's a really stormy weekend here in Florida.
Wow. Well, we're having a sunny day here in British Columbia, in Vancouver.
Just like the other end of the world.
Tell us
a little bit about your background and training. Like, which came first, getting an MBA, being an opera singer, a cinematographer, an herbalist, and, you know, a psychotherapist? How did that all come together?
Yes. The business came later, actually. I was first a cinematographer, and in parallel, I was an opera singer. I was in a double job, you might say. And I realized it was a very exciting and crazy life at the time. And I was really enjoying it until the time came that I decided that I wanted a little more settled life, because I could see my seniors and what kind of lives they had unless they went into teaching, which I did not think I had that kind of stamina to continue with that lifestyle, actually. But I keep that as still a part of my life, just not as, you know, as not as pronounced. So I went into business afterwards, and I had my childhood trainings in different businesses, working in different companies. That was kind of my way of growing up. So that helped me get some basics, and I went and did my master's in business administration. There are a lot of other jobs there. Not to confuse everyone with everything, but eventually I can say I settled in psychotherapy, because it includes everything about life. And you know, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, I don't know how it looks from outside, but this is something I have decided long, long time ago, that the cost of not doing something later on in life would be too high for me. You know, it would be harder to deal for me. So it was one of those things, those balances that, you know, on one hand I work and I make a living, and on the other I have to pursue all these different things that I have a skill for, that I have an interest for. So it's a little hectic life when you're working and you're also doing, you know, singing, or, you know, working in the film sets here and there, or whatever else I was doing at the time. It's a little hectic life, but it was much better than, you know, that regret that I did not think I could deal with later on in life, when I did not have the time, or, you know, when I did not have the time or energy to pursue all these different interests in my life. It was a long answer, but yes, you know, so it kind of all still comes at the same time. So right now, for example, I'm working on my paramedic degree too, because that's something I think I should have in my life. So, but I'm still working at the same time. So,
well, that's an amazing thing to know. I have gained so much respect for nurses and paramedics and firefighters, you know, people that handle emergencies, that know what to do when we're faced with a serious emergency. So it's a good skill to have. And
yes,
I also
thank
like
you.
What you said about psychotherapy, that it encompasses everything, all of life. So the more training and skills that you can have personally, the better you can help other people when they're facing different problems, because you have an understanding.
Exactly. It adds to it. And I found that it's put me in a different place in terms of perspective taking, and in terms of, you know, the concepts that people have, that you are just one thing and you're perfect to be that one thing, which is not necessarily my style of life. And, you know, just this juggling is possible. And this limit of stress is not necessarily something that is wearing me out. It's something that is energizing me. You know, this level of, because I really have to do these other things in my life too, and not just be channeled into one thing only. And that's what that is what gives variety and push to all my other work, and especially, of course, counseling, as it stands in the center of my life today.
And there's a word for it, eustress, 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 as opposed to, you know, a positive type of stress, as opposed to negative stress, where you just have cortisol rising and you're upset.
Okay.
So I'd like to get into some questions about your work. Your main teaching is about connection. So what led you to focus on this?
Well, a lot of different things. I ended up with it coming from very different places, because it was eventually, after learning psychotherapy and having done it for several years, I realized that I need to niche it down rather than just call myself a general clinical psychotherapist. You know, we all kind of lean towards one thing or another in the end. And I saw all roads for me went to connection, because, you know, the crowds, having too many people in the streets, it's not what gives us that sense of security and safety in life, that, you know, and without that basic sense of safety and security, nothing moves in our life. You know, we're always living in a very sheltered box of our own making. So, I mean, you know, having the crowd out there, even, you know, in sometimes is a nervous thing for people. We don't even like too many crowds, right? But just that, having that one person, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, someone that you know for years and years, But having that connection with that one person, even if it's that person that you just met, even if it's a stranger, that single connection is what is so soothing to us, what allows us to know that we are not the only person on the whole face of the earth. You know, it's not just in, it's not in physical, it's definitely in psychology, it's in our soul. And ultimately, of course, my heart always goes to that, but it's our connection with whole life, with that higher self, with the creation. And I'm very pulled to those ideas, you know, that this communion with life. And I like to approach this communion with life from somewhere that makes sense to me, you know, makes sense to us humans, you know, which is first making that connection with another human being or with an animal, or, you know, I'm saying animals or human beings because I think it comes easier than talking about nature and all that. But we cannot understand, in my opinion, we cannot understand our connection and oneness with life, or you might say with God, before we can connect with another human being, which is really the basis of, you know, the basic safe sense of safety and security in life. So it is so basic for me, and I realize that it's such a basic need for me, and I always want to live with that in my soul. And that is, you might say, it's very spiritual and practical to teach. It has practical and spiritual ends, from day to day.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. It's just reminding me of something that I saw on TV, that this shooter from Parkland that murdered students, his brother came to see him in the cell. And his brother was telling him, I'm sorry that I wasn't the best brother and I had been abusive and ignored you, and I really love you, and hugged him. And I just couldn't help thinking, if that boy who had gone out to attack other people, if he had known that his brother loved him like that, and if he had felt that connection, he probably would not have been driven to do what he did.
If he really felt that, right? And yeah. And in some terms, I think, you know, whoever is listening, you know, it might sound simplistic in some terms, but I think what you're saying is very right. You know, in a real sense, not just on with just one talk, right? If he felt that his brother was there for him, things would have developed differently in his life. I agree with you.
Absolutely. And not just his brother, anyone, but somebody that showed that caring. You know, and he felt that connection with.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Definitely.
You call it the three C's of connection. So please explain what that is and how that can help us.
Well, I like to express things simply. And three C's connection, I think, really envelops this whole idea. And I have my this is how I work with people, but it's just to express it. The first C is clarify, and the second C is connect, and the third C is cultivate. So what we clarify in that is the motivation behind the surface. So, you know, for example, in this latest summit, I'm focusing on couples. Sometimes when we are, you know, when we get into that with our partners, it seems like this other person has it in for us. Like they're against us. They're the worst enemy in some ways. When in fact, you know, if we can see that motivation behind the actions, behind the obvious, behind the day to day, he said, she said, you know, you did that tit for tat, then we can know that this person did not marry us to bring us down. Right, this person is not living with us to bring us down. So there is something else playing underneath that. And clarification, the first C, is about understanding the real motivations behind what our actions are and what the other person's actions are. And connecting, the second C, is about practicing connection for the sake of it, without any agenda. So when we, you know, that was what I was explaining before too, when we can just have that one single connection with that person, then there's a chance for, then we create that genuine interest for them to be interested in us. You know, when we feel really heard and understood, how we turn to that person, how we're more inclined to listen to that person, that this is what I'm talking about. And the key thing about this connection is it only happens on a person-to-person basis. And, or, you know, of course it happens with the animals too, but, you know, it never happens on a role or a rule basis. For example, we do not connect with a sales agent, right, in that role. We connect with the person behind that role. If we ever have that, feel that connection with someone, or we never connect with a rule, we connect with the person behind that rule, even if that connection ever happens, which is the basic thing that really guides us, unless somebody is manipulating us or forcing us to do something. And the third C is cultivate. So after clarify, connect, cultivate. And cultivation is about cultivating that connection for the long term, as well as cultivating that ability within us to connect with people in the long term. And that is more about extending that ability, deepening and extending that ability to feel peace and developing that loving appreciation towards the other person. You know, mostly I talk about, of course, specific people, but there are, of course, things we do for the wider scheme. And I work with energy, not in the way, I'm not an energy worker, or I don't do tapping, those kind of things, but I believe in this energy, because we, you know, as you know, as a psychotherapist too, there is something called entrainment. So what we when we feel a certain way, you know, how if you always hang out with someone who's depressed, you start to become depressed. If you're always hanging out with people who are agitated, that's how you become. If you always hang out with someone who is peaceful and loving, you cannot help, you know, but be attracted to their loving energy and peaceful energy as well. If they are conscious and firm in that, in their stance, in that energy field, right? So I'm interested in energy from this entrainment perspective too. So this cultivation has a lot to do with that. So yes, so three C's are clarify, connect, and cultivate. The shortest version I can give.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then I have another question. You also teach about intuition and that we can develop our intuition. But I was just wondering, do you feel there are some people who are naturally more intuitive, and can this intuition be learned and cultivated?
Yes. I think, you know, intuition is so much like water to fish to us. We take it so granted. And, you know, it's so much about, you know, if I don't see it, I don't believe things. Even though we do, we are very supernatural beings, but we don't want to acknowledge that. We're so under the spell of this scientific method, which is of course great and necessary, but taken to the extreme limit in some ways, I think. So definitely, first of all, we all have intuition and we are all using it without realizing it. And where that comes is when we meet someone. And the basic thing is we have five senses. Right, we have and five plus senses. They keep adding to those senses with pressure and you know, different things that our body can sense all at the same time. We are sensing all these things all at the same time, but we are only focusing on one. Our attention can only take one, right? So what is happening with all the other intake? It's not getting lost. Something in our body is storing that somewhere in our mind that is being registered, and all that information is being made sense of. Mainly though, of course, the caveat there is according to our subconscious plays a big role there. Where we put our attention to, how we train our subconscious, how our subconscious has been trained has a lot to do with what we are aware of. So intuition has a lot to do with those two things, attention and our subconscious programming that way. So intuition, being able to develop intuition, and people who are more open to their intuition, I think, are people, yes, you know, some of us has better senses, like just like some of us, you know, has an ear for music, or, you know, has a talent for painting and those kind of things, or numbers, right? So definitely some of us have better developed senses, and some of us have more ability to tune into those senses without muddying it with, you know, bad subconscious programming or bad attention, very diverse and unfocused attention. So being able to, okay, and the last ingredient in being able to train our intuition is being able to trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I talk about connection a lot. This is the first connection that I always teach, which is that connection with ourselves, being able to trust ourselves, trust in our word, because unless we have learned to trust ourselves to the degree that we are able to trust ourselves, that is the degree that we are going to allow all this stored information within, you know, from our five senses and from our life experience, that is the limit that we're going to allow that to come through. That's the limit that we're going to believe it and follow it, right? And we all had this experience, like, I knew it. I knew that wasn't the right thing, or I knew that was the right thing to do, and I didn't do it. So mm-hmm. we always need to sort, and you know, our subconscious does that for us. But the first key in developing our intuition is something, you know, some might even see as not that sexy, which is learning to trust yourself, and that is about learning to connect with yourself. And I go through a very, very short, I don't like doing whole year-long programs, especially if I'm doing mm-hmm. it with groups or in online programs. So it's very short programs that I like to show people, and, you know, it's basic things that we know, but we, you know, of course, you know, we did not learn these things, but it's there for us. It's very attainable at any age. So yes, so the short answer is yes, we can develop our intuition, and yes, some people have it better than others because of skill, or because they're able to clean things up that are not intuition.
And the bottom line is, we can improve our intuition.
Definitely, definitely. It is always there for us. You know, whether you admit to it or not, we are all using it. There is not a single person that is not using their intuition. It's just that they're either close to it, conscious of it, or not. And that's the only difference.
Okay, and now let's get virtual summit. And I'm excited to be one of the speakers. Tell us, you know, first of all, what led you to the topic of the summit, you know, exploring becoming a dream team as a couple?
Being a dream team as a couple, whatever the form of relationship that we are in, that you are in, what we do with our partner, we can't help it. You know, we always are projecting on our partner everything in our life that went right and went wrong. So we are replaying, all of us replay the past life scenarios with our partners, because they're the most intimate people to our lives. And if we are not able to feel that connection that I talk about with the people that are closest to us, and it's our home, right? That's our safe haven. If we cannot feel that safety and that connection within our safe haven, then we don't have it. It's lost. You know, our life is in a chaos, and we get really distracted. We cannot even focus on the opportunities and work out there. As much as we would like to think we become workaholics, it doesn't become this great work life trajectory for us either, or it's a very different work and life trajectory if we had that safe haven, that safety and security, that connection at home. So I start with home, and I start with partners, that dream team couple. And what that means to me is very simple: two people who can make plans together and move towards those plans together. That's how I describe that, rather than wearing on each other's sense of self, sense of security, you know, two people who lose themselves and who enmesh to each other in the relationship, that's not the ideal couple, as much as, you know, sometimes we might confuse with that. So I am inspired by that, because of course our kids are born from that environment too. We teach them how to be a person, how to be a partner to their future wives and husbands, or whatever form those relationships will take for them. So I started with that, but of course it does extend eventually to our work life, being able to connect in there, and with our parents, with the extended family that works in there too. The more we can expand that network of connection, the safer we feel, and the more secure we perceive life to be for ourselves. So, but I started with dream team couple, because that, I think it's really the seed of all creating all the safety and security, and for adults, of course. You know, I'm not talking about the initial attachments that we hopefully did have with our parents, especially with our mother, who hopefully had it with our father. So it is very important for us as adults to have that connection and feeling, to feel safe and secure in the world. So long story short, that's why I started from this core seed place of our home, from our partner, that dream team couple, for this summit.
And I'd like to add something in here. As you're talking about that, it's so obvious to me that so many people find a partner who maybe did not come from a secure family environment. Maybe the parents had affairs or addictions or something, or a mental illness, or just not really good parenting. And you expect your partner to just be a certain way when they just did not develop that.
No. I mean, we expect each other to be everything to us. And, you know, of course, and that's the gist of it at the end. And I offer the summary of it, you know, and I think you already have the link on your website for this radio show. If people go to dreamteamcouple.com, register for the event. And I offer the summary up front for people who register for the event. Everybody agrees on these three things, all the experts, including you. I don't know. Now that I'm going to count it to you, how much you feel you agree with these things, but it seems that the three basic things came out, which is first starting with yourself, what creates a dream team couple, what helps to create that. It's first people start with themselves. You know, first we need to become aware of our needs and find ways to learn ways to satisfy our own needs without having to put it all on our partner to be all that for us, and to approach our relationship as more as a full being, rather than two halves of the apple, as they say it, and being able to depend on each other that way. And the second thing is choosing to be happy in a relationship rather than expecting everything to be resolved before we can feel the joy and pleasure. And that's more about being able to stay calm, and carry on, to be able to have that perspective that is bigger than the present moment, that is bigger than the present period, that might not be as positive in the relationship. And the third thing is how connection is primary. So we do not wait for connecting. Again, we do not wait for all our problems to be resolved so that finally we can feel connected to this person. We first learn to connect, and then it helps to untie all the other knots in our relationship that becomes like the warmer and the lubricant for every other issue that we have in the relationship. So those three things come up. Sorry that you didn't ask a question, but it just inspired me to talk about all these.
So I would like to add another question, and that is, if people sign up for the summit, what can they expect to get, or what can they learn from it?
Basically, I think these I summarized so far with all my talks. There's so much great stuff, and I learned so much. Like, you came with a very different perspective. I hope people will listen to that. You know, that really different than so many other experts were saying, and that's what makes it so rich. You know, there's not just one perspective. There are different perspectives. There are very common, you know, you and everybody else agreed on, but there are so many different perspectives on top of it. Like you were mentioning how we need to follow our passion, and that, you know, how that passion is primary, and we need to highlight that and not give up on it in the relationship, and you know how that creates a very different dynamic than someone who is saying, you know, stay, you know, you have to stay in that relationship and work things out. You know, looking at it more from the couple's perspective versus looking at it from more first clarify your individual passions and learn how to follow them before you try to adjust to another person. That's how I understood our conversation developing. So there's very different views, and everybody is going to get something for themselves. And if they get poked, if anybody gets curious or interested or annoyed with anything, there's always an opportunity to ask those questions. So there are a lot of strategies for connecting and understanding why people might be getting isolated in their relationships. There's great nuggets of information, and there's great opportunity, ample opportunity to ask your question. So, and there are, of course, you know, the summary sheets that I deliver too. So if people cannot catch all the interviews, then they can get the gist of information from these summary sheets. So there's a lot for them, and we kept the interviews short, unfortunately. And I hope to continue with so many of these conversations later. But I think there's enough there to get people excited and interested for more. So I look forward to hear from everyone who's listening as well.
I'd like to add something about, when you're talking about a dream team couple, you're not necessarily talking about what we picture in Hollywood of the super couple, super power couple. You're really talking to any couple that they can be a dream team couple based on their own background and creating a connection with each other. They don't have to be a certain way or a certain kind of success.
Oh, yes, that is so true. And that was something that came up from at least you and two other experts that highlighted that. The basic thing is that we have trust, and we feel trust and safety in our relationship with this other person. It's not about the form. It's not about bugging our relationship down and, you know, blocking the air and that freshness by trying to fit it into those forms that we see around us, right? And we do not always get that portrayed. We do not always get that modeled. You know, some forms of it, of course, we see it on Hollywood, which sometimes is sad. We don't see that being always very successful relationships, right? Whenever somebody gets married, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. But we are always just looking, you know, instead of looking out there, there are a lot of different, you know, of course, there's no union for, you know, every kind of relationship. Every couple that found a different way to make it work for themselves, there's no union for it, so that we can all come together and not feel isolated and alone in that scenario. But, you know, just what we have out there as a family form is usually what worked so far. And the world is changing in such dramatic ways, and I know it from, you know, new mothers who are professionals who do not have that support like they used to anymore, not from their friends who are working, you know, getting isolated from work, getting isolated from family, from social life. You know, there is a very different family dynamic that comes with that. Even, you know, the husbands have to step forward in a way that they did not see their father modeling how to get involved with their kids as much as they do today. So very different things are happening in our society today. It definitely requires new dynamics between partners whom they may not see, you know, very much examples of that. So what I'm coming to my basic point again is the basic thing that we need to concentrate on is this trust and that safety in our relationship and not get bogged down with the form of it. Definitely. I agree with you 100%.
And I'd like to add another piece to that, that many of the coaches and therapists somehow have created what looks like a perfect relationship. So someone coming to that coach or therapist could feel like, I could never have a relationship like yours. And maybe you can't, but maybe you don't even want that. Maybe the type of person you're attracted to is different from what they have together. So each of us is unique. And that's another piece that we have to know.
And our needs change. We do not expect the same things from partnership, you know, later in life, as we do when we have kids and we have the, you know, all the business of work life. And, you know, just being retired is not the same thing it used to be anymore either, I'm sure. You know, there are a lot of people who are going back to work after retirement today, not just for just money reasons, but for so many other social reasons too. So social life is very different, and individuals definitely differ a lot in that. So it's very dangerous to try to box it in into certain forms. I agree with that.
Okay, so please tell us again the name of the summit and how people can get there, even though the link is on the page. But just tell us
again.
Thank
you. So it is called Becoming the Dream Team Couple Summit. It's airing on September 17th, and I look forward to hearing your questions and comments from all of you who are listening to us today. And you can go to dreamteamcouple.com and register to it, and we'll take it from there. And it's going to be, we make it as light and simple and just easy for people to digest the information without bogging down with so much. You know, we're not loading it with information, we're just giving you the gist of it as much as possible, me and my team. So we hope to see you there. I'm so excited about that.
Yes, thank you so much, Evren. It was delightful to have this connection with you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Erica. This was such a different thing to do after so many interviews. Being interviewed was such a such a nice fresh air. I hope to have more of these.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And it's good for people to know who you are and what you bring to the situation as the host.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show with me today. And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, and you can get a complimentary Healing Through Love session, or you can get some of my free reports or watch some of the videos and lots of stuff on the site. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.